Happy Halloween! You're joining We the People, brought to you by Reading Tea Party. We're at KCNR 1460, Reading Shasta. Our chat line is open at www.kcnr1460.com. And please feel free to call us at 530-605-4567. Good morning.
Yeah, and just ignore that whole note about the, what is it, the opinions of the host? It made it sound like we were going to say something bad. I was like, yeah, looking at my list of stuff, I'm thinking, gee, I don't think I need a disclaimer for any of this. It's all pretty legit.
Nice costume this morning.
I got my ghost and orange stars shirt. I'm sure you're all out there in your Halloween pajamas.
I'll try to keep my pointed hat and my broom away from you.
Well, you rode in at the last minute.
I kind of did.
We thought maybe Elizabeth had been eaten by the Halloween monster.
the giant pumpkin.
She's not
Charlie
here.
Brown.
She's not here. Well, there are a whole bunch of us out there that are paying attention to all of this because the election's in 2 days.
Yay!
Finally. And a bunch of us jumped on a bus yesterday morning at 7 o'clock with Congressman Herger and his staff. They had their Team Herger shirts on. They're pretty cute. And got on the bus here at 7 o'clock and headed down to Sacramento and walked precincts in Elk Grove. The congressman walked precincts with Bud Lawrence. If you haven't spent the day with Bud Lawrence, you haven't had any fun at all. He's hilarious. So those guys are out knocking on doors, you know, reminding people to vote. Can't tell you how many people said, oh, I've got my absentee ballot right here. It's like, no.
That's not supposed to be on your kitchen table.
Yeah, don't mail the absentee ballot now. Walk it in. So we wanted to kind of remind you of some things, and we've got a bunch of people calling in that are folks that we met along the road. Some of them we knew before. But wanted to let you know that Dr. Tom Andrews will be at the Reading Tea Party meeting tomorrow night, 6 o'clock at Bonneville Baptist Church. It's 2570 South Bonneville Road. You can find that on our website at readingteaparty.com. And also, we have the pleasure of having Derek Harley, who is in from Washington, D.C., on Congressman Herger's staff. He's their chief of staff. Interesting guy, and he's going to be here till Wednesday, so we're gonna jam up one of his evenings and have him come in.
And in a few minutes, we've got Congressman Herger calling in, and Kathy Darling, who is our county clerk, is going to call in and talk to us a little bit about all things voting.
Yeah, because, you know, it seems like, you know, the voter fraud and all that is really on everybody's mind, and it's all great to hear what's going on in, you know, Florida and Chicago and, you know, Harry Reid over there, you know, that's getting, what is it, the automatic voting machine that's automatically voting for him?
Yes.
All that stuff.
That's too bad that's what it takes to get him elected.
Kind of funny, actually.
Yeah.
But
he is automatic. He can't win.
That's right. So, but we thought, you know, it'd be important to hear what's going on in our local area here and find out what's happening. Let's see. Oh, I got to put in a big plug for Fran Peace, who works for Congressman Herger down out of Chico. I'll tell you what. Like, we got on the bus at 7 o'clock. It was a pretty mellow ride to Chico. We pull up. They've got this huge banner. They're all out there, Team Herger. They're waving at us from the curb. It was pretty funny. And then Fran, I'm not kidding you, she must have had 5 giant boxes of food. She had bagels and cream cheese. They came up the aisle. It was like being on an airplane in the olden days. I think actually probably before I was even alive, when they used to actually feed you. She had drinks. They had coffee. They had not just coffee. They had Starbucks coffee, nice coffee, and just tons of food. It was a blast, absolutely a blast. And actually, one of the people said, "What's next? Watches and jewelry."
It's funny. Bring food and they will come.
Yeah. So nobody went hungry yesterday, but they're probably all pretty sleepy. So we're launching a food drive to benefit veterans, the Veterans Food Pantry here with the Missing in America Project in November. Lots of opportunities to drop off food here in November, and we will be posting all of that on the website at readingteaparty.com. We'll also be handing out flyers tomorrow night so that people have all of that. Big election parties, 2 of them on Hilltop. We know that the Republican Party is doing one, or the Republican Central Committee. I'm sorry if I'm botching this, but I'm not really sure who's exactly doing it. But they're at the Holiday Inn.
Yep, that's always fun. I went 2 years ago, and the TVs are all on, and everybody's cheering, and
super fun.
And yeah,
the city,
it is.
City
it's
council
really fun.
Is all the city council candidates are drifting in and out of Tobacco and Brew there on Hilltop, and that starts around 6 to 7. They have a council meeting that ought to be done by 7, and we'll watch the results come in with those guys since we've been so involved.
So you can go back and forth across the street.
Absolutely. We're going to take a tiny break here and be right back with you. We're at KCNR, 1460 AM, Chester Redding, home of Free Fire Media.
Welcome back. You're joining We the People, brought to you by the Redding Tea Party at KCNR, 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, home of Free Fire Media. Good morning, Kathy, darling.
How are you?
We're great. How are you? Thank you so much for calling in. Are you sitting there at your kitchen table with a cup of coffee?
Oh, yeah, actually a cup of water, but yeah.
Great. Well, we're glad you called in. So, we're right smack in the middle of a really heated election period. Can you give us an idea of how the votes are coming in Shasta County?
Yeah, we've been pretty busy, as I expected. We have quite a few folks who vote from home. You talked earlier about people who vote by mail or absentee voting. We've mailed out already almost 55,000 absentee ballots and received back over 24,000 of those.
Oh, that's great.
Jeez, that's awesome.
So folks are voting. And, of course, like you said earlier, it's really important for folks not to put their ballot in the mail at this point.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a good point.
On election day.
How does that work? Like, let's say that they mailed them on Saturday they're like me out in Palo Cedro, and their mail bounces to, I think, Sacramento and then back up here.
You know, actually, we are really lucky here in Shasta County. We have a mail distribution center here at the Turn Creek Post Office. So your mail should not go to Sacramento. It should go to Turn Creek, and then we go to the Turn Creek Post Office right before 8 p.m. and pick up all the ballots that they have in the building.
Oh, excellent.
So
good to know.
I know there's been problems with other counties and their post offices, but we have a great relationship with our postmaster, and they work really hard to get all those ballots to us by 8 o'clock.
That is fantastic. People ask all the time, and it's stuff we've just never really... never get into the nitty-gritty of what goes on with ballots. You cast them every election, and you figure you're done.
Well, in elections, no news is good news, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
When I'm in the newspaper, it's hopefully just a status update. And, some of my peers have been in the paper lately, not for status updates. And so, we're happy when the process isn't the story, the candidates are the story.
Yeah, yeah, that's an excellent point. If it's okay with you, can you hang on with us for just a second? And we're going to buzz Congressman Herger in and do a little wrap-up on the bus trip so that he can get on with his day.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kathy.
Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning. How are you today?
Did you get a little extra sleep from the bus?
I did, and I'm turning around as soon as I finish visiting, having a nice visit with you, headed back to the bus, which will be leaving Chico here at 9, and headed back up to up the Elk Grove area, working on the Dan Lundgren race again.
How's it looking for him, Congressman?
Well, it's a close race. It's one of the closest races nationally. Looked at one of the... we're very fortunate on the Republican side. We really don't have too many close races or races that are in jeopardy. We do have, I believe about 3 or 4, and this is one of those. But he is doing very well. Everybody is excited, like around the nation. We have voters out there that are so concerned about the direction that this country is going in, this incredible move to the far left of radical socialism and the government taking over virtually every aspect of our life, that we're just really seeing a good turnout. People are excited, and that's what we need, not only in the Dan Lundgren race, but really all over our state. We have some very important races, of course, for governor, for U.S. Senate. Every race is important, but I believe we're going to get it done. I believe the momentum's on our side, and It's not over yet. It's not over till the last poll closes on Tuesday the 2nd. And I'm very, very optimistic.
As far as people plugging in to
the election, just from the standpoint of walking precincts and doing all those kinds of things, is this different than other elections that you've seen?
Well, different. You know, there's, you know, as they say, there's politics 101. There's certain things you do if you're going to win an election. And it all boils down to hard work.
Mm-hmm.
There's making phone calls. There's getting people registered originally. It's then turning out the vote. That's what the process we're in now, turning out the vote, getting those people out. And it's making sure that the votes are counted and making sure that it's a fair election. I mean, it's really a process. But what is different this time is that I've never seen the concern and actually people saying they're afraid and mm-hmm. scared. I've never heard that in any other election until about a year ago this August, of people looking at the debt we have. 37 cents out of every dollar we're spending at the national level is borrowed money, borrowed from China. And, of course, we all know it's not just the money you borrow, but there's compound interest that we pay on that borrowed money. And people concerned, will our children and will our grandchildren have the incredible freedoms and wonderful way of life that we've enjoyed, that our parents and grandparents and all those who came before us sacrificed so hard and wars and through depression, through everything, so that we could have? Are we going to be able to leave it to our children? So that's, I feel that is the big emphasis in this campaign, why people are more concerned and more involved than I've ever seen them before.
Well, I have to say, just from my experience yesterday, there were so many people on that bus who had not done that before. And I have to just completely hand it to everybody on your staff. They made it really fun. It was very, very, I was surprised how much of a schedule we kept. I mean, we talked about, you know, being at dinner at 5:30. We talked about, you know, getting back at 10. And all those things hit every single one of them on the mark. All the packets were ready when we got there. The people who hadn't done that before, I really thought, They walked away going, wow, this is...
Well, and you know, it's funny that you mentioned, Congressman Herger, that you've never seen people come out like they are now. That pretty much explains and describes the entire Tea Party movement.
You know, that is so true. And that's one of the biggest aspects that I think people can see is this Tea Party group. And I remember when I first began hearing about it, was, you know, in a big way, was probably a year ago, July or so. They had just had in Congress the big stimulus bill, $800 billion. Again, most of it is borrowed money. And then they tried to put a tax on energy, the cap and trade, cap and tax bill. And all of a sudden, last July, when we went out for the July 4th break, we began seeing the Tea Party groups. Nobody had heard about them. I think they maybe started in February or March or something just before that. But they began turning out the town hall meetings. And then when we were out in the August break a year ago, boy, they were really out. And, of course, we began seeing them on television. And every district in the nation, in every state in the nation, they'd show up at some of these liberal tax and spend senators or congressmen, and they had never seen anything like this. And then the big thought was, well, are they going to go away? You know, that was one of my big concerns. Well, they, you know, okay, they got out, they let people know they were unhappy. Will they, you know, go back home again and not see them again? Well, not so. They grew in intensity until we see really the climax in virtually every special election for the last year. We've seen them turn out, and these are patriotic people. As you mentioned, Aaron, you know, on the bus, the vast majority of these people have never been involved before. You know, many of them have voted. Some of them haven't voted, but as far as going to a precinct walk or showing up for a bus trip and showing up at 7 o'clock in, up in Redding and 8 o'clock in Chico and then 9 o'clock in Yuba, Marysville. I mean, this was something, and you know, as you mentioned too, it was fun. It was really fun to be able to go and be involved in helping save our nation and make the political process work in a positive way.
Well, the thing I think too that struck people is oftentimes people think, oh, you know, all these elected officials, they don't really do anything. You know, they're just out there like sitting on thrones and all the other people are doing the work. And I had to kind of chuckle. I thought, well, a whole bunch of people got a look yesterday at what goes on in the interplay between all these people running for office, because, you know, here you hop on the bus with your Team Herger shirt. You're knocking on doors same as we are. Dan Lundgren and Jack Sieglick met us at the barbecue. And it's pretty funny. You get done walking the precinct, you get up to the, you know, it's like, hey, here's lunch, you know, you get your paper plate, and this hand comes out. It was the funniest thing. He's like, hi, thanks a lot for all your help. I looked up, and it was the guy from the brochure I'd been handing out all morning.
Oh, that's great.
I was like, oh, you must be Dan Lundgren. You look just like your picture. So that was very cool that they came over to thank everybody and participate. I thought, you know, this isn't something that is being done apart from the people in office. It's being done with them, which is really important. I think that's the most interesting thing. We're also going to have your chief of staff, Derek Harley, at our meeting tomorrow night. He's going to talk to us about what goes on in your office in Washington, D.C., which is obviously something we don't ever get a look at.
Well, that'll be fun. And, you know, I'm glad you mentioned my chief of staff, Derek, and we could go through Fran Peace, who's my head person here in California. I am so blessed. One of the aspects that makes this job so much fun for me is the fact that we get the brightest, and I say young people because some of these people have been with me a while, but mainly they're young people that really believe in our country, believe in our Constitution, who want to be involved, that we are, and these are people who are just some of the brightest students out of college that I'm able to then hire, and these are dedicated people. Now, I grew up on a dairy farm back when we had these small dairies all over. I grew up milking cows twice a day, 7 days a week. So I was kind of taught, not necessarily by choice, but that's where my dad had me going. But I learned the work ethic that way. But we look at, you mentioned Derek is out here. These people are out, they're volunteering their time when they're out there on a Saturday. And by the way, we're turning around on a Sunday here, going to do the same thing. I have another one of my staff people, Dave Muir. He has volunteered his time. He's taken time off without pay. He's traveled up to Portland, Oregon to work on a campaign up there.
He's been really involved in that Cornelis campaign up
there.
And he just really believes in him. He's taken a lot of time off, I know, and has done a ton of work up here. Also, you know, the one person I forgot was Todd Jones, your newest
Todd
guy here.
Todd Jones, a locally grown
he's a great
young
guy.
Man.
Grew out of
up
Weaverville.
In Weaverville. Went to school, grammar school, high school up there. Went away, spent 3 years in the Marines. Came back, went to college, and we were fortunate enough to hire him the day he got out of college. And he's working with us. I mean, these young people, I mean, boy, that's our future.
You know, and Congressman, we get asked all the time by our volunteers that are the older generations. They want to know where the youth is. They want to get young people involved. And you certainly have the best and the brightest working for you.
Yeah, the folks that, the kids that got on with Fran down there in Chico. And there were actually five high school students who got on the bus from Marysville that walked precincts with us yesterday. That was really cool. I had a couple of those kids might call in this morning. I'm not sure. They might actually sleep in, but I gave them the phone number.
They're still
you know,
kids.
That's another fun thing. Again, as you mentioned, five high school kids. How fun that is for... anyway, it's neat. You know, it's not just a sacrifice. It's not just out there, and believe me... sacrifice. I mean, is it worth taking time out of our schedules, what we're doing, to be able to work to save our country, to turn our country around, to save our Constitution? I mean, it's either us or our children won't have it. I believe every generation, as they say, has to do their part to keep our country free, and this is our part. And then the good news is it's worth, but it can be a lot of fun along the way.
Absolutely. I'm looking at our Patriot count on ReadingTeaParty.com, and we're up to 2,286 people at this point. A lot of those are couples. A lot of those people are just, tons of our folks don't even have computers. But I think in a year to have assembled that many people online who are concerned, and I kind of chuckle because people thought this movement was going to go away. That count is getting higher and higher, and I thought, you know what, 2012 is going to look like nothing we've ever seen.
And Congressman Herger, I know that you had a great walking partner yesterday in Bud Lawrence, and he's a typical patriot and one of our greatest volunteers, and the man's in his 80s. So there's an awful lot of folks out there that are not sitting back and throwing their hands up in the air and saying, well, I'm going to hope for the best.
Nope.
They're out there walking the talk.
We've got a lot of folks who want to help, and so if it's okay with you, we're gonna bus back and talk about the local election. We'll get back to Kathy here on the phone, and we'll let you head for the bus, so you're not late for your own bus.
Aaron, thank you so much, Elizabeth. Thank you for
you're
doing
welcome.
What you're doing. I mean, talking about sacrifice. Look at the two of you. This is a Sunday morning. Many people are sleeping in or getting ready to go to church this morning, and you're out there doing your part, so thank you so much. You're part of what makes it fun, and I'll tell you, anyway, thank you. And Aaron, that wonderful husband of yours, it was good. I mean, we just had a good time, and thank you, and we have a lot to do. And let me just close with this, is that, you know, I've had people, you know, ask me, well, gee, what can I do? I'm just one person. I've not been involved or anything to do. Everyone can do something.
Absolutely.
Everyone can join your organization. They can do something.
Yeah.
And if everybody does their own little thing, their something, that's what adds up to be the amount that puts us over the top in these elections.
Yep, and we appreciate the opportunity to go on the trip yesterday and get a lesson from the pros on how that's all done. I know people walked precincts here in Reading, too, but when the next election comes around, I think we're going to have a lot more people on the streets. It's going to be amazing.
I believe we are. I believe it's going to do nothing but grow. And again, thank you so much. God bless all of you. Boy, we have the greatest country in the nation in the world. We need to work to keep it great.
Absolutely. Thank you, and have a great day, Congressman.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks a
Bye.
Whole bunch. Say hi to everybody. All right, Kathy, are you still in there?
I am.
Thank you so much for holding on.
No problem. I can hear everything, so it was great to listen.
That's
good,
cool.
Good.
It wasn't exactly the brief update, but we didn't really plan it, so, you know, kind of go with it. Okay, so what's the stuff that people need to know? I mean, if we could put them all in your office and you were going to, you know, kind of wag your finger at them, what do they need to know?
Well, you know, this message may be a little bit too late because I think what happens sometimes is folks who go to the polls get information from our office and they think it's junk mail and they throw it away. And it tells them where to go to vote.
Oh,
so
good to know.
That would be my first thing would be that when you get your sample ballot book, which is a blue and white publication that comes from my office to every voter who votes in the polling place, on the back it tells them where to go to vote. And it has a sample ballot inside so that you can take your state guidebook, which has all the information about the state candidates and the propositions, and you can actually pre-mark your sample ballot. So when you go to the polls, when you get your physical, real, official ballot, you can get in and out of there pretty quickly. But like I say, those went out at the beginning of October, so if someone's already thrown them away, it's a little late for that message.
Sure.
But for future.
Well, tell me this. We hear a lot about, you know, how the ballots are counted, where are they, you know, how does that get done, who watches them, how does that part go?
Well, do you want me to talk about vote-by-mail ballots or those absentee ballots that we have in the office right now?
Yeah, sure. But what about all the people who mailed them in 2 weeks ago? What are those all doing?
Well, every single ballot envelope, the envelope itself has to be signed by the voter, right?
Mm-hmm,
sure. Compare that signature before we ever open the envelope excuse me, to the signature that's on the voter registration card.
Oh, you match every single one?
Every single one.
Wow. Good to know.
There are some counties who are doing that by computer, but we're still doing it by hand.
Okay, that's probably a good thing. Now, Kathy, what are the numbers looking like as compared to the 2008 elections?
We're actually a little behind. It's feeling very busy to us. We have, like you were just talking about with the congressman, we have an enormous amount of folks calling the office and coming into the office, especially a couple of weeks ago when the voter registration deadline was. So it feels very busy, but we are a little bit behind the 2008 turnout. And although Shasta County always has a higher turnout than the state average, I don't think we're going to beat our presidential turnout.
Interesting. And do you count? So all the absentee ballots that are in, you're matching them and counting them, and your tally is beginning.
We have an infrared high speed ballot counter that actually counts all the paper ballots, and we'll start running those ballots through those machines tomorrow. And then we don't hit that total button or the added up button until after 8 o'clock on Tuesday night.
Okay.
Oh, so you can't even tell as it's going. You don't get progress reports.
No. The system, because the law says we can't release any totals until after 8 o'clock on Tuesday, the programming is written so that you can run ballots without getting totals.
Wow. Well, what about all the folks when they draw that little line between the two arrows? You know, what if they scribble the whole thing in instead of just drawing? I've had a bunch of people ask me that. It says you're supposed to draw one thin line, but what if they scribble the whole thing in and make it like a giant black arrow?
The problem with scribbling in, especially if you do it very vigorously, is that you can create kind of a 3D little dimple on the back side of your ballot. And because our ballots are double-sided, we worry about folks interfering with counting the votes on the back side of the ballot.
Mm,
so that's why we instruct them to make just a single line, and the ballot counters are very sensitive, and if you even just put a dot in between those two, the head and tail of the arrow there, it'll count that as a vote. That's why we ask folks to make that one single line, even when we don't have something on the back of the ballot, because we want them to be in the habit of just doing that.
Interesting.
So, Kathy, did you have a lot of people come in this time and change their party affiliation?
No, I don't know that we did. We have about 3,000 more registered voters now than we did in June, but because I'm not at the office, I can't tell you.
Okay.
I don't have access to that.
But the numbers for people registering did go up.
Yes.
That's good.
Yes. Although, again, not as much as it would in a presidential year, and I have to agree with what you said earlier when you're talking to the congressman, that 12 is going to be very busy for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that sometimes the elections in between the presidential campaigns sometimes fall off a little bit, although this one is as critical as they come, I think.
We have, in this county, and I'm sure it's true everywhere, but we do have a group of voters that only vote at the November presidential election. They vote once every 4 years.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, I'd like to know the theory behind that.
I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Absolutely.
I had a couple people tell me, oh, well, I still need to register. It's like, when we were on our precinct walk yesterday, I still need to register. I was like, oh.
And I would encourage them to register, but, of course, they're not eligible to vote in this election.
Yeah.
Right. I think people are so used to the instant thing, they think they can go register and vote. It's like, it doesn't work that way.
There are states where you can register to vote on Election Day, but California is not yet one of those.
Cool. Yeah. So would you consider our system here, about average for what's going on out there as far as the technology and the checks and balances and that kind of thing?
In California, you mean?
Even just here locally. I mean, are we kind of behind the times? Do we need to upgrade? Because you see the thing on TV, like with the Harry Reid ballots where people touch the screens and all that kind of stuff. I don't think we do that here, right?
We actually have the same voting system the state of Nevada has.
Okay. I'm an absentee person, so I don't know what they're doing in the polls right now.
Yeah. Right. Well, when we bought the system in 2003, the intention was, that was after the 2000 debacle in Florida, and we had been a punch card county prior to that. So the Secretary of State decertified all punch card voting systems nationwide. There's nobody using punch cards anywhere in the United States anymore.
Interesting.
As a result of that one election. So we got a new voting system in 2003, and we were using it for electronic voting just like they have in Nevada, like you've seen on the whole, with the whole thing about the Harry Reid campaign, until 2007, when we had a new Secretary of State sworn in, and she conducted what she called a top-to-bottom review, which is she put all the voting systems in use in California, not just the kind we use here in Shasta County, through a bunch of tests. And so she didn't feel they were secure enough based on the results of those tests. So what we do now is vote on paper in the polling places, and only folks who request to use those electronic voting machines use them in the polling places. So we have one in every polling place to allow equal access to the ballot. Folks who are sight impaired, for example, can use the voting machine to listen to the ballot and make their selections unassisted,
okay.
But, which allows us to comply with federal law. But everyone else votes on paper.
Now, Kathy, one quick question. Folks can actually go in and monitor the polling places as a taxpayer. Is that true?
Absolutely. The election process is should be and is in this county an open and transparent process. And one of the things that we've had a lot of people interested in doing is being an official observer. You don't have to be an official election observer to go in and see what's happening at your polling place or at any polling place in the county, but we do have an official observer program, and we have several folks, I think, from your group that are registered and are going to be hanging around.
Exercise all of our rights.
So tell me this. What give people a phone number, and I know they can take their ballots if they still have absentee ballots at home. It's like, don't mail them. They can take them to their polling place. They can bring them to you. What's the best way to do that, and what's a good phone number for people if they still have questions?
Are the office phone numbers 225-5730, and, of course, nobody's there today. But there is a voicemail, so if you call and leave a message, we'll get back to you tomorrow. Also, our website has a lot of great information. You can check and see where your polling place is on the website, and that's www.elections.co.shasta.ca.us.
Okay.
It's kind of a long email address. But you can check there. Also, if you've already mailed in your absentee ballot, you can check there on the website and make sure that we've received it.
Oh, you can. Great. That's nice to know.
I did not know that.
Good.
Well, you're just full of fun facts. Thank you so much for joining us.
We really appreciate
you're
it,
welcome.
Kathy.
With your cup of water.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for calling in. I think it's been a great help to some of our listeners out there that are the last-minute folks. And Tuesday's a big day.
Yes, it is the big day.
Thanks to you and all your people for doing such a good job. It's nice to live in a place where we're not on the national news.
I agree. Thank you very much. I have a great staff, and without them, you know, none of this stuff would happen.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Kathy.
Have a great day.
We're gonna move now to Sam Paredes from Gun Owners of California, who's going to talk to us about another project we were working on, making some phone calls on behalf of some candidates in other towns. So we don't know what towns those were, what races those were, or anything. So you got to tell us what happened.
Good morning, Sam.
Good morning. How are you ladies this morning?
Good.
Great.
Thanks for calling in.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity. And I just want to tell you that the experience that we've had this year with the cooperation and the trust between volunteers from the Tea Party groups and gun clubs and Gun Owners of California has been absolutely incredible. And we all had the same vision of building numbers of conservatives. We had volunteers from all over Northern California. And Redding, I have to tell you, the Redding Tea Party Patriots has to stand up as a lighthouse, a shining beacon of patriotism, in that they did yeoman's work in helping us to contact, to identify some of our voters in districts in Southern California where the left has completely ignored them. They believe that they've had them in the bag. They were very overconfident. They didn't spend any money on themselves. They were donating money to other candidates. And the fact of the matter is, in the races that we were involved in, they have turned into very hot races.
So bottom line is, we were instrumental in the sneak attack.
Yeah, as I like to put it, the best kept secret that 10,000 people know about.
Right. And, you know, I just real quickly, just the work that we've done with you, Sam, and the buses yesterday for Wally Herger's campaign, mm-hmm. a lot of folks locally don't realize that they can go beyond their local area and work on hot races that they can't necessarily vote in, but they can certainly campaign for.
That's absolutely correct. If you, you know, what we have to continue to work and educate our people, those people who are represented by what I call conservative rock stars. They've got good councilmen, good supervisors, good assemblymen and senators, and a good congressman, and they sometimes they feel like, well, we have no race to fight in. Well, there are races not too far away in some cases where they can get involved. So if they take care of their voting by absentee ballot, then they can on election day or the week before, they can spend time down in some of these other districts, like the group did down here in the Sacramento Valley, helping candidates like Abram Wilson and Jack Sieglock and Dan Lundgren. You're actually doing something that is being positive and building votes to build our majority, to get us closer to being the people that are running the show. And that's a great goal to have. And as it turns out, these people, if you help elect them, they end up being every bit as much your assemblyman. You get the benefit of having two or three assemblymen who represent you.
Absolutely.
Even though they don't live in your area.
Hey, Sam, we were talking to Nathan Conrad down there, who was one of the guys who was helping organize everything. Mm-hmm. And he was telling us that somewhere between 6 and 8 contacts to a voter increase their likelihood of voting for that candidate to like 80% or something?
That's correct. There are two things that statistically, you know, they've analyzed it scientifically and all that stuff, and I think of it as black magic, but a candidate shaking hands with a voter, directly shaking hands with a voter, you can count on them voting for them because now they have a personal investment in them. The second thing is the number of contacts, 6 to 8 contacts, with a message, and here's the key, with a message that rings with the voter, will make them, will increase the likelihood of them voting for that candidate. If all they're doing is shotgunning a bunch of, or spamming a bunch of mud, and it's just not flying with the voter, you can hit them a million times, but it's 6 or 8 times with a message that rings true with the voter, and they will more than likely come and vote for you.
So when we get into these things like walking precincts and people showing up at someone's door, saying hi, you know, handing out literature,
mm-hmm.
Nathan was telling us, he said, you know, when they are doing their phone banks, he said, we get people who say, you've called me already, and they, you know, are frustrated and they hang up. He hangs up and smiles and goes, oh, good, we're getting close.
Yeah, no, that's very, very true. Some people say, oh, no, we're scaring them away, we're getting them mad. No, what's happening is we're getting them into a position where they're going to say, doggone it, I'm going to go vote for them so that they'll stop calling me.
There you go.
And that's...
I didn't know that. We were, you know, it's funny to look at this whole process. I mean, a lot of us have been, we voted, but we didn't know what was going on, you know. We kind of get to pull back the curtain and find out what the little man with the levers is doing back there. And you know, so we're like, is that why they've been driving us nuts for all these years, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now tell me this. You know, mm-hmm. they have those automated, the robocalls.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my guess is that the robocalls are far less effective than real people, but is that actually true in real life?
Well, here's the way it works. At the top is the personal contact with the candidate. The next thing, the next most effective thing is personal contact with a volunteer for the candidate. So the precinct walking is very effective when you knock and talk. The next thing would be the mail that they receive, and then after that probably the television they watch, and then the radio that they watch, and probably the robocall would be lower on the spectrum, but it still has an impact. And if you make the universe large enough, you are still having a positive benefit. You know, you get people who will start to listen to the robocall, and who's this from? Oh, I want to see who it's from. And what are they saying? Oh, I'm tired of the, all the while the message is being transmitted. At the end, they erase them from the answering machine, or they hang up on them. But they've hung on long enough to find out who it's from.
You know, I had one yesterday from Chris Christie, the governor of New Jersey, stumping for Meg Whitman, and I thought, well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I had the same one, and my wife said, hey, Chris Christie is calling our home, and thought, oh, we were special.
So was I.
You were all that.
Yeah, yeah. So it was very exciting. And you know, going back to something that your previous guest just mentioned, the fact that they have a sense that the turnout is going to be lower in Shasta County this election is part of the perfect storm that we were hoping for and expecting. If turnout is lower in Shasta, it means turnout is going to be lower throughout the state of California. That means that every voter contact that was made and every vote that we actually end up dragging to the polls
mm-hmm.
is going to be that much more valuable.
Yeah.
Because the universe is getting smaller and we are getting our people to the voting booths. That takes all of the polls, all of the surveys, all of that stuff, and completely throws them out the window. And it drives them crazy when they misjudge what the turnout is going to be, and it screws up all the numbers. So all of the surveys that I've been listening to the last couple of days, they're a bunch of bunk, because when you read when you pull the curtain back and you see the man with the levers, and you find out that all of their assumptions were wrong.
You find out they were the big bloviating fiery head that was actually fake. Let's just keep that Wizard of Oz analogy on track there.
That's right.
I'm wearing my ghost and ghost and orange stars shirt. You know, I don't know. I've got to go get candy. I was watching people yesterday down there in Sacramento, and all these people are pulling up to their houses. There were a lot of folks that weren't home or were just on their way home, and they were all out buying Halloween candy. So, you know, you live down there. If you want to go trick or treating, I can steer you to some neighborhoods with a lot of candy.
And good candy.
We know
well,
what
I'm a little bit old for trick or treating anymore. I gave it up about 2 years ago.
It was pretty funny. We Bill and I, we were knocking on some doors in this one kind of side neighborhood, and the guy was bringing his trash out, and he goes, what are you guys doing? You guys trick or treating early? We're like, no, we're getting people out to vote. And the guy goes, oh, how do you feel about that Prop 19? We're like, we're not big on Prop 19. And he goes, Well, what do you think, Whitman or Brown? I'm like, well, pretty much anybody but Brown. How's that? And he's like, I don't want to talk to you anymore. But his buddy that was there working on his boat, he started laughing. He goes, I like you guys.
Yeah,
so good. You know what? There's somebody for everybody.
There is.
Absolutely right. That's why it's a free country, and I hope the guy who was taking out his trash just find something to do all day tomorrow and just doesn't make it to the voting booth.
Well, he's got his trash out early, so I don't know. He looks like a planner to me. But hey, do us a favor. Can you hang with us through the break, or are you catching
a
bus at 9?
Absolutely.
All right, because we actually we forgot to give some kudos to Bill Miller Auto Transport. But, you know, a lot of the people who woke up late and are just catching up with us, got to tell you, Bill Miller is one of our first advertisers. He's an awesome guy, helps out with the group all the time. So Miller Auto Transport, if you've got to move a vehicle from here to there or there to here.
Got a luxury vehicle, does a lot of military vehicles.
Yep.
If you're going to move overseas,
he's
your guy to get your car where you're going.
That would be the transport part.
Yes.
So if you have auto transport needs, Bill Miller's your guy. And if you need to dig a hole, so you're going to cover all spectrum here. If you're going to dig a hole, you're going to call Dan Pearson.
Yes.
Absolutely. Dan and Roxy Pearson, they do all sorts of stuff. They're clever people. They work fast. And so Pearson Excavating.
They do a lot of stuff.
You can catch that on our teapartymedia.net page. The advertisers are on there. And we want to thank Congressman Herger for advertising on the program last week and this, getting his message out and hanging with the folks. We've had a lot of fun with him last couple of weeks here, getting things done. So we're going to take a little commercial here and come right back with Sam Paredes from Gun Owners of California. You are listening to KCNR 1460 AM.
Welcome back. Reading Tea Pointing We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. KCNR 1460 AM, serving Shasta and Reading, home of Free Fire Media. If you want to make a last-minute call, the number is 605-4567. We've got Sam Paredes on the phone from Gun Owners of California. Welcome back, Sam.
Hey, Chandler, can you turn Sam back on?
Welcome back.
Sorry, Sam, you were in the cone of silence there.
Me and Maxwell Smart, we were just having a really good conversation.
Actually, talking in your shoe.
Actually, me and the chief here. You know, but isn't it kind of true, though? We spend all our days now fighting chaos, so I guess there was
That's
some truth to that whole thing.
That is our calling, isn't it?
Hey, Sam, I've got a quick question for you. Have you ever seen a drive such as the one with the Tea Party movement, where you just have a whole bunch of middle-of-the-road folks that have no political experience at all coming together with drive and passion and certainly longevity? Ever seen anything like that in your career?
Not in my career. I think, actually, the last time something like this happened was in the early to middle 1700s, when the population, or a significant portion of the population, decided we've had enough, we're going to do something about it. They went into their garage and they sharpened their pitchforks and their shovels and they started the march. the closest thing to
don't forget
this,
the torches.
That's right. You know, the closest thing to this was in 1994, when the first contract with America was done by the congressional leaders, the Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference is that was something that was developed from the top and sold to the public, and the public, they got the message, and they said, okay. So they voted in a very big way, and then they were disappointed, and they don't want to do that again. But what they've done this time is that they have arisen from the bottom, and they are now not being led by congressional leaders and legislative leaders. They are leading them. They're firing some of them. They're sending some of their own. And you know, all of the candidates we have throughout the country, the Christine O'Donnells and all of our candidates, we are sending our people up there this time to enforce the contract that we think should be implemented. It is a completely different thing, the intensity of which has not happened in my 30 years of political activity.
Yeah, there haven't been a lot of bottom-up movements. I mean, it's really hard to take the movement out when it's just everyday folks with no real clear leaders. You know, they're just driven by their own passions and love for this country.
You're absolutely correct. And if you think of it this way, you're talking about people who are inexperienced and somewhat sometimes naive in the political process. They've taken the rule book and they've thrown it out the window. But the fact that the sheer size and intensity of the movement is so large that they're taking this place in storm, and it's just so large that even though they don't obey all the rules and they don't do everything that political consultants say that this should be done, the movement is so large that it's still having a vast and important impact.
Hey, Sam, we've got a quick caller on the line.
But you know what? Before we do that, I wanted to add something, because when Sam said, you know, that the Reading Tea Party was really integral in helping them with their phone calls and stuff, I wanted to make sure that actually included everybody. That's not just the town of Reading. That was also Red Bluff, Corning, Mount Shasta, you know, Bernie, Fall River, Big Valley, Alturas. All these groups participate together under the ReadingTeaParty.com website. You can find all their groups there. So it's much wider than just the city of Reading. And I want to make sure, because the guys in Corning, man, they did tons of work, and the people in Red Bluff as well.
They are yeomen down there. I mean, I'm
absolutely.
You know what I should say, Reading, the Northern California Tea Party, including Chico and Oroville and all of the network that you folks have created up there, We know that the folks at Southern Oregon would wish they were involved in our operation down here because of the intensity and the strength that was created by your leadership down there and your folks. And you know what? For next election, maybe we will go up there and help them take Oregon back too, because they're good people there.
Absolutely, we've made tons of contacts in Klamath Falls and Bend and way up. So
I'm giving up a 4-hour workshop.
Uh-oh.
We're
getting the music.
We're getting the music.
Chandler's giving us the music.
We got like 20 seconds.
That's like giving us the business, but he gives us the music. Hey, happy Halloween! Thanks everybody who called in. Thanks all the people on the bus. KCNR 1460 AM put on another great show of We the People. You can find us online at ReadingTeaParty.com.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Hey.